Bravo.
W4NGU.
Hanging around the police station and impound lots and all kind of stuff.
Okay, well, did you get your car impounded or what?
Well, it got stolen out of the driveway and they found it in Simpsonville last night and I went down to check it out.
Lord, which one?
Oh, and say again.
Which one do they steal?
It was one of my dad's town cars. Right out of the driveway.
Was it?
In the 98.
Well, it had, 98s, they started at, OBD2 in 96. So, that car shouldn't have been a piece of cake to steal.
Broken glass. I don't know if they brought up a trailer with a grabber on it and just picked it up or what, but it's only got 42,000 miles on it.
In 22 years and 40,000 miles. Wow. That's, usually the average is 15,000 a year.
It had some special chrome on it, quite a bit, actually. And, so I guess somebody, just wanted that one because they left one a whole lot nicer than that sitting right beside it.
The newer one, they're harder to steal, but of course they've these locksmiths claim they can come out and make you a key and start your car, even the new ones. I don't know how they do it, because we have to jump through all kinds of hoops to do it at the dealership. But anyway.
Well, they didn't hire good people. They don't. They certainly didn't try to make a key. I had my wife had locked herself out a few months ago, and they came out and just about ruined the. I'm at a loss for what that is. The rubber around the door, whatever that is, and they had to blow the door out with a thing that blow up, and I just about had to send them on their way, but they finally got in, but I wasn't happy at all with that.
Weather stripping, and yeah, I've seen them do that too, and it bends the door, and you can break a glass that way too, if you're not careful. And then I've seen them close the door, and the door, the tip of the door is sticking out, where they bent it, and you have to roll your window down and stick your knee in the door and grab hold of that corner and bend it back in.
To that point, but it almost did. But anyway, so that's what I've been doing the last 2 years, and then went down to the LEC and started making a report, and when they found out it was not my car, it was my dad's, oh, everything stopped. We can't take a report unless you're the owner. And I said, well, he's advanced in age and he's afraid of COVID. I'm sorry. And I'd already waited 2 hours on the sheriff line. And when I got down there, there was one sheriff, and he wasn't on the phone. He just sitting there. And he said, I'm the only one on duty, so I don't know why he just didn't want to answer the phone for 2 hours. So I'd come down there. So I had to go back, get my dad. We went down, made a report. I just wasn't really impressed with the Greenville Sheriff's Department.
had that experience. I guess they run a smaller crew on the weekends.
But I finally got frustrated enough to call 911. She said, "Sir, you need to call the sheriff's non-emergency line." I said, "I've been on it for 2 hours." And she said, "Well, the only choice you got is to come down here or to call and wait 4 hours.
My goodness. Well, did they do any damage to the car?
No, they must have grabbed it up with a trailer and pulled it off, because it's not hurt at all. The tag is gone, and I got to call Simpsonville Police tonight and see do they have the tag or was it stolen. But likely it was stolen, so if that's the worst of it, that'll be all right.
Now then you just have to deal with the DMV. Oh, I tell you, what a mess. Yeah, you can, if it's, especially if it's front-wheel drive or they pick it up by the rear tires, if it's rear-wheel drive, and, yeah, you can just roll off with something in the middle of the night, you know, and then get down the road a little ways and strap it down. Some people, I've seen guys with those, I don't know what they're called, but the thing that the tire just sits in, it's just a square. You're supposed to put a strap over it and strap the tire down. And we couldn't even, when I worked at the county, we couldn't move a car across the street without strapping it down. And but I seen them go down 26 at 80 miles an hour, and they weren't strapped down.
Well, my parents' neighborhood have two cops they pay to ride around at night, but for some reason, they weren't on duty on a Saturday night. Looks like to me that'd be a prime time to be patrolling, but that's the way it goes.
Well, I just got through playing some tennis, changed the subject. I've been playing over at Sugar Creek today. One of our guys at the sports club lives in Sugar Creek, and they have courts. And so we just scheduled a game today since it's so hard to get a court at the sports club because all the play courts are out. They only have three hard courts. So we just played over there today and got in three matches. So we played 2 hours, almost 2 hours.
How you do it? Oh, I heard you talking about taking, I guess it was Jackson, to Tractor Supply. And I was going to let you borrow the kind of ladder you were looking for, but if you want one permanently to put your plane on, I just decided not to offer because I knew you wanted one for that purpose, apparently. But, oh, here's something up here on the road, some kind of accident. But we're getting a new Tractor Supply right up the street from me. It's going to be so nice on Highway 9 there. They've got lights on and the parking lot's paved now, so I don't think it'll be long before I can go in there all the time and get free stuff.
KB4CBA. Well, we went to Harbor Freight, it's a nice ladder. I mean, it was like $109. And, you know, you can put it on stairs, and I've already got it on the stairs. I'm not going to hang it until tomorrow. I just told Mona I don't like to do stuff like that on Sunday. So anyway, I'll just wait till tomorrow and do it. And, but I just need to get it out of the way. You know, it's just too big of a temptation, for my grandkids. Grizzly got a hold of it. He's 3 years old, and he turned three today. He tear it to pieces.
Congratulations to the Grizz. Boy, somebody just went through the guardrail and went crashing down before they got on to 85 and messed up the truck big time. That's weird. But I remember when I was little, a guy was building a Balsam aircraft. It wasn't, you know, just a model. It wasn't to fly or anything. And he had spent untold time, and we came over to visit. And the son and me went back in the room to look at it. And I didn't know it was thin as paper, and I just touched the wing and kind of squeezed and squeezed two holes in the wing. Well, man, we bugged out and went outside, and wasn't long before we heard his dad say, "Who's been in here messing up my plane?" And I apologized, and I'm just a kid. It should have been protected from, especially something so incredibly fragile. But I will never forget that.
Dad used to build, he liked to build these balsa wood airplanes, and that's, it's like paper thin stuff. I don't know what kind of material it is, and you wrap the wing. I think you have to glue it on, and then you sprinkle water on it, and it makes the paper contract, and it tightens up, and it gets real tight because you don't want anything flapping in the breeze on an airplane. So, but I noticed today mine's been sitting upstairs in the bed. I showed it to my grandson last night, and now it's got two places on the wing. They weren't there, so I don't know how they got there. But anyway, so I got to fix those. Of course, I haven't even got things started yet, so I've got to get the stuff to. I got to get a starter and something to glow plug.
Well, I've heard you talking a couple of times over the weekend to Dave, and I didn't know you're interested again in flying, or was this your first interest in it? I know Steve used to do it a long time ago with Dave, but did you just get in it?
You know, I had a drone. I really enjoyed it, but it was a cheap one, and it was real light, and it got caught in the wind. I think you heard about that, and it got out of range of the transmitter, and it just kept climbing, and the wind blew it north, and I never saw it again. But it had a camera on it, HD camera. It was nice, and it sent great video. It took great pictures. But anyway, I've had a lot of RC. Not a lot, but several RC vehicles. But I've, ever since my dad had that glow plug engine, and I've heard that run, I've always wanted an airplane, and this is a four stroke, so I can't wait to hear it.
Well, I built one out of a kit. And I don't know whatever happened to that one. And then I bought one that all you had to do is put the wing on it and stuff. And I gave it to Steve in the electronics. I think he's still got it over there and is hanging on the wall in his man cave. But there's a lot of fun. I'd love to get into a high-quality drone. I think that would be fun. But I got too many hobbies right now, so I'm not going to try to do that. But that's kind of what appeals to me, is a high quality camera and something that's big and heavy enough and stable. I got one too, but it's only got a 5 minute or 6 minute battery life till you have to charge it again, and it's hard to keep stable. You can't hardly just hover it in the air. You got to be manipulating it, or it'll go back and forth or something. But it was a nice little thing. Got it for a Christmas present, and somebody didn't know what they were buying, thought it was a good one. So I was glad to get it.
When I had it was big, and it I would fly in the house. I mean, it would just sit there and hover, and you know, I could fly it in the living room, and you know, but if you let go of the controls, it would just sit there and hover. It was great. And it would do that outside, you know, as long as the wind wasn't blowing. So I picked the wrong day to fly it. But anyway, but c'est la vie. Yeah, this one, I'm toying whether to get a crystal. I need to get a crystal to match the receiver to put in the transmitter, or I need to get the new electronics, the spread spectrum transmitter, and get new servos, one of the two.
Nice one there, especially four stroke, I heard you say. Mine had a homing button, and it went home, but it wouldn't stop. It hit you in the head if you just stood there, and it'd go on past you. It didn't know to slow down and stop on the homing spot. It would come back over and cross over and kill you, but it wouldn't stop.
That's funny. Oh, man. Yeah, I think, I don't know if mine had a home button. It had, but it would, you could just, you know, stop and make it hover, and it would stay in one place. I mean, you know, but if the wind got a hold of it, it was so light that you can, I've seen some at Best Buy for like $2.99, $3.99, and they're real heavy, and, you know, that's the kind you want to get, that, so you don't have to worry about the wind blowing it around.
Absolutely. Well, this one, I don't think the transmitter or the receiver was what it needed to be, even though it was an expensive one, because I could sense sometime when it was high overhead that I didn't have full control. And you'd think line of sight, it'd be hard to get out of range over your head. Now, I can see if it was way downwind a long way, but I don't know. It just sometimes I'd have to lower the height on the thing before I could drive it again.
This one I wasn't flying it too high, and I was facing south, and Mona said turn it around, because you put your phone, and it, you know, it had a app, and you could see what the camera was seeing on your phone. And it had a place on the controller for your phone. And so she said, turn it around and get it a little bit higher so we can see the Blue Ridge Mountains. And so that's when I lost it. I turned it around and I took it higher, and it just, that's when the wind got it and just took it off.
Foray into it when I had, when I built the plane a long time ago. My carpenters were into it, and I was a general contractor, and I was building houses, and I wanted to do something with them, you know. And but he got his one time. We were out at Lake Robinson flying, and he got his out over the lake, and he got it so far up it lost control, and we never saw it again. I don't know where that thing landed, but it completely got away from him. I can still remember the look on his face.
Before CPA, I was just dragging my feet in case somebody wanted to jump in. Well, I'm sitting in the garage here, so I'm going to sign with you and go inside. And, it's been good to talk to you, Phil, and I hope you can get things straightened out with your dad's tag there. And you need to drive that car about once a week, and you know, keep everything moving. I guess it doesn't stiffen up.
Yeah, yeah. All right, my friend. Talk to you later, W4, never give up.
KB4 CBA.
Hi, Phil. This is Gerald TR.
QX.
Somebody else in there with you. And, but I'm pulling the plug, so we'll talk to you later, KB4CBA.
Station for a minute. I'm about to get my order to drive through.
Roger, roger. Good evening. This is NZTR. My name's Tom. I didn't hear who broke in.
KF4JQX. I was just going to yell at that other party for a second. And I won't get on the side. I was just going to talk to him about his radio-controlled airplanes for a second.
He run off. I heard a lot of talk about radio-controlled airplanes today. W4DJW and Jerry, I can't remember his call now. And, there's been a lot of it today. But I don't think Phil has done much of it, and I have not either. I do have a real, real extremely cheap drone, if you will, and that's about all I've been into. I always wanted to, but never have.
Like a lot of other hobbies, I've got boxes of that stuff packed away. It's real expensive, real addicting. And then one day you just quit.
Like fishing, it's a big hole to throw money in, or any other hobby. Ham radio, for example. Yeah, it gets pricey. And I'll tell you, just some of the antenna repairs I did recently, my wife's over there sneezing left and right. I'm trying to dampen her sneezes, but I don't know if I'm getting them all. She has fits of sneezing.
See something, man. We won't talk about fishing. I used to be the world's worst. I had a really, really nice TR-21X Bassmaster Classic bass boat with a 250 Mercury sitting on the back of it. That was my toy. And when my cancer come back for the second time and it wasn't looking good for me, my wife asked me would I sell it in case I didn't pull through, and I did, and I've regretted it ever since.
A good firearm, back up when I lived in Kansas. I just didn't have the money to have more than one, so if I wanted another one, I had to trade it in. And it's about like trading used cars, you know. You always lose, and you always regret it.
I didn't lose on that one, brother. Believe it or not, I got my money back out of that boat. I kept it inside a garage since I bought it. It was a dealer's boat. It was his demo boat. I bought it and it had less than 40 hours on it. When I sold it, it had just a touch over 50. And it still looked brand new. And I got my money back out of it.
My neighbors, it's a good friend of mine. A fellow approached him last year, or year before, and he had I think it's 24, 26-foot bass boat, beautiful. Had a 275-horse motor on it, I think it was, 253, 300-horse, somewhere up in that area, huge. And he said his dad hadn't been quite so lucky on the chemo. And it had like 11 hours on it, and it was a $50,000 boat, and he bought it for half of that. So, you never know. In hindsight, you probably did the right thing.
Yeah, I still got mixed emotions about it.
Yeah, Yeah, I can understand that. Well, I've had a few rifles and pistols that I wish I had back, and just could deport it. That's the bottom line. And as far as boats go, guys, when I started fishing, when I first got out of the service back up in Kansas, I had a 12-foot John boat that I paid $12 a month to Sears and Roebuck for. And I took a piece of conduit and some clamps, hose clamps, and went out to the junkyard and took the heater motor out of a car, strapped it on the bottom of that bracket with some hose clamps, made my own propeller, and got me a 12-volt battery, and that was my troller. And it was a couple of years before I could afford a troller, but caught a lot of fish out of that 12-foot John boat.
You can do it. You can do it. And I've been fighting cancer for 11 years, and there's days I feel like fishing, and there's days I don't, so it just depends on which day it is.
I went through chemo back in the year 2000, along in that era, and it isn't any party. Thankfully, it was successful, and I don't know. The poison's almost worse than the disease at times.
Right out of 100 rounds of it in the last 11 years, and I've been stage 4 twice, so I still take it once a month.
God bless you, I'll tell you. That's, you're a fighter. My sister had colon cancer, and she went 3 years, and some of those chemo treatments were horrible, but she was a gladiator, I'll tell you. She really fought it, and we had her at our house for the last, I don't know how many months, and it was a tough one, I'll tell you for sure. Well, you could get you a little John boat, and or a big John boat, and a trolling motor, and go up to Lake Robinson or Lake Cunningham, and some of these smaller lakes.
And got me another boat. I've had one for several years now.
And I bought a lemon, and the motor went bad, and this root and shoot outfit down here at Wade Hampton and 101 that's out of business now, I told them I didn't want to put a lot of money in that motor, and the time they got done, I had about $900 in it, and it still didn't work right. They finally got it fixed. Turned out to be a seal, I think, in the lower unit. And, anyways, after I finally got it fixed, I sold it. But I took a beating on it. This is in Gerald TR.
Yeah, KO4JQX. I never had a minute's trouble out of my Triton. It had a 250 file on the back of it. A stupid boat would run. It'd run between 78 and 80 mile an hour with two people in it, fully loaded out with full tank of fuel and all my gear in it.
That's far, far too fast on the water. I went with my neighbor in that one of his, and we was running 55, and that was plenty. Did I get your call right, KF4JQX? And give me your name, please.
Oscar 4 Juliet Quebec X-Ray. It's Jeff Parker.
Oh, well, nice to meet you, by golly. And, well, you're very fortunate to have a nice boat like that. Tim, he downgraded from that bass boat. I don't know if you call it downgrade or not, but his now's got one of those flying bridges in the middle of it. And I don't think it's quite as long. And they took it out on the ocean the other day. His wife and his daughter got sick. But Tim and his son-in-law really had a good time with it. And Phil, if you're back, jump in there. This is N0TR.
See something. I got caught in a storm one time in a small boat up on Joe Cassie when I was in my 20s. And the worst storm I've ever been in my life on any body of water anywhere. And I worked search and recovery for Anderson County for 20 years. I was on their dive team. And I seen the game warden start out after some people in a canoe up there, and they turned around and went back and left them. Me and another fireman was in my boat, and we pulled them people out of the lake. And I said right then, if I ever bought another boat, I was gonna buy something I could get off the water with if a storm come up. And I did.
Jeff, I'll tell you, that's a good idea. We fished the strip mines up in Kansas, and I took my three nephews fishing, and we was in that 12-foot John boat, and we was back in the boondocks. Let me tell you, you had to drive down this farm road and then lower the boat down into the water with a rope. It was about, 50 feet, and in fact, we went in the other end that night, and it was only about, 20, 25 feet down. And I thought it'd be easier for the kids. Well, while we were down there, it was getting towards dark, and we were up against the buck wall, which is the steep wall where the shovel had been. And we didn't see it. And in come a fast-moving thunderstorm. And, the lightning started to fly. And I didn't want to be out there with them three young kids, and they couldn't help any. And the only way to get that boat out was to hook it onto the rope that I luckily left on the trail going down to the water. And every time I'd try to pull myself up, it was sheer mud, and I'd just fall flat on my face. And I finally just drug myself up to the top of it, and I had the boat hooked on, and I told the boys, just hang on to that boat, and we'll get out of there. I thought, sure, we was going to die that night, though, Jeff. KO4, JQX, N0TR.
We got caught up there. There was a tornado come over in the air, and we seen it. It was hailing. There was hailstones falling big as, they weren't big as baseballs, but they were big as large plums, and there was waves on that. I don't know if you've ever been on that lake or not, but it's in the mountains between South Carolina and North Carolina, and you can't see a storm coming until it's on top of you, and it just turned black all at once, and there was waves between 8 and 10 foot tall. And I thought it was going to swamp the boat, you know. I mean, I wasn't scared, but I was concerned. I'll be honest with you. I figured we was going into water. We had on life jackets. I mean, I didn't think we was going to die, but I figured we was going to get wet. I mean, we was already wet, but I figured we was going into lake, you know.
Yeah, well, we used to take them old John boats, and we got in trouble for it once. We were kids, and we went up river, and Tobin me, it was Tobin me. We inverted the boat, and they had styrofoam in the seats. And then we went down under the boat and stuck our head up where there was an air pocket, you know. And we floated back down in front of his parents underneath that boat. Oh, boy. We about got flogged over that. They thought we'd capsize and was drowned. And we was just having fun.
Well, brother, I'm going to get off here with you. I'm recovering from this COVID mess, and I'm still pretty weak from it. So enjoy talking with you. KO4JQX, I'll be clear at your final.
Sure. really been through it all. Well, I have congestive heart failure, and I've been trying to avoid that stuff, Jeff, but my neighbor's wife got it. She don't even know how. And they've been trying to stay safe and stay away from people, but she works, and she works in an office. I kind of think she goes out to eat at lunch, but I'm not sure of that anymore. But she got it, but it's been very mild with her. She hasn't had any drastic effects other than she can't smell and she can't taste. And that's probably the Marlboro cigarettes doing that to her, but don't say I said that. Anyways, we hope she's all right. We love them. They're great neighbors. Jeff, you take care. God bless. 73 is KO4 JQX and 0TR 73.